warning. What you are about to hear is guaranteed to move you out of your comfort zone towards higher ground. You have just one attempt at life. Live it on purpose, not by accident. For a person to be without complete and accurate knowledge is not good. Therefore, you are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, and presenter, Success Power, Reverend Sam Adeyemi.
Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. I've titled this one, Candidate for Grace. Candidate for Grace. This year, I see dramatic changes happening in our lives. I mean, dramatic. Where we will end this year will be so far away from what we could imagine in January. I mean, dramatic changes. Some will be gradual, some will be sudden. But I see dramatic changes. But there will be changes occasioned by the grace of God. See, because when it's God that has done it, he will do it in such a way that it will be unmistakable. You know it's God that did it. That's why it usually would not happen normally. When God steps in, there are so many people in this church. God is stepping into your case this year. In the name of Jesus Christ. I just want us to see how it comes, how this grace comes. 2 Corinthians 12 from verse 7. Apostle Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. The question tonight is, how do you manage pain? How do you manage pain? How do you manage unfavorable circumstances in your life? I'm talking about dealing with a husband that is not saved, or a wife that is not saved, or dealing with someone that is not responsible, or someone who is not behaving right. How do you deal with a wayward child? How do you handle financial crisis? I mean, pressing needs, desperate needs. How do you deal with a threatening health situation? How do you deal with an academic situation that just seems to guarantee failure? How do you deal with delay in childbearing? How do you deal with a business that is not working with all of the effort that you are putting in it? Okay? How do you deal with difficulty? Apostle Paul said in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." It's remarkable. This was an anointed man. This was someone who had things going for him, so to speak. This was someone for whom things were working in the ministry. This was a man who was pulling the crowds, and miracles were working in his life. He said there was a source of pain in his life. So, when somebody is blessed, when you can see somebody is visibly blessed, don't ever assume that their lives are perfect or that their lives have always been perfect. Because there's something about us that becomes disappointed when we discover a point of weakness in the life of someone who has been so visibly blessed by God. Okay? And that's the kind of stuff that helps soft sell magazines to sell. That after all, with all the fame, with all the money, with all the breakthrough, there's a but. There's something wrong. There's a handicap. You see, when you are a student of grace, you don't quickly rejoice over such things. Because if you have spiritual eyes, you will soon discover that that handicap or weakness is one of the reasons why the person is blessed. If you had spiritual eyes to see, we always believe that the best outcome of a situation is for pain to go away. We always believe that the perfect life, the best life to live, is a life that has no pain, no handicap whatsoever. So the first thing we want to do is to get the pain out. We believe that's the proof that God is in our lives. That's the proof of being blessed, that there is no pain, no handicap, no need whatsoever, nothing that moves us to cry. Okay? But so Apostle Paul here began to pray, God, take it out. I can't be this anointed and have a handicap. Take it out, okay? I can't be this anointed and have this. What God eventually showed Apostle Paul was that there was a connection between his pain and the grace. There was a connection between that pain and the anointing on his life. Because that anointing was going to be cut short if God did not keep him in touch with his humanity. There's something so vain about the human being or the human mind. It's just so difficult for us to separate our sense of worth from our achievement and our accomplishment. So the more we achieve, the more we succeed, the bigger our heads grow. The more we become deceived to think we are what we are not. You know, Apostle Paul had to ask the Corinthian Christians in 1 Corinthians 4:7. He said, what have you that you have not received? We said, okay, if you received, he said, why are you behaving as if you did not receive it? That's the truth. And John 3:27, John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except it is given him from above. True. But something about the human construction just makes it difficult for him to remember that when things are happening for him. Moses had to warn Israel. You see the land that God is taking you to, it's a good land. You will prosper there beyond your imagination. Possess houses you did not build. He said you will eat bread without scarcity. These are going to work for you. He said, but beware. Beware. Lest after things have worked for you, you are living in very good houses, your sheep bringing forth in abundance, you know, your livestock is multiplied, your money is multiplied, everything about you is multiplied. He said, beware. He said, or else you will begin to say, by the power of my own hand, I have gotten this. That's why Herod sang. Nonsense, man. Only God knows how many times he sang that nobody knew he could sing. Because he was singing off key. That was not his anointing. But because he was a king and there were sycophants around him. And that's part of the big problem with success, I'm telling you. When things are working for you, there are people who derive their sense of relevance for just being around you. And they are the ones who will confuse you about your true value. Okay? So, Herod sang, Acts 12. And this people began to say, hey, the voice of a God and not of a man. He too was shaking his head. He has forgotten. You, God. Herod, God. The Bible says an angel smote him. That's King James. An angel slapped him. And worms began to eat his body while he was standing. And he fell down dead. you forgot who you are. So that's the kind of a life that Apostle Paul was living. That's the kind of anointing. The kind of grace that Apostle Paul enjoyed was heavy grace, sir. There was a kind of anointing reserved for the 12 apostles who walked with Jesus. There was a unique place reserved for them. Apostle Paul was a notorious sinner, notorious Pharisee. He was far from being born again. When these apostles were walking with Jesus, it was after Jesus had resurrected and gone to heaven. Even then, Paul went crazy. In fact, he was arresting Christians and throwing them into prison. Okay? He was the one who supervised the death of Stephen. When people put down their clothes in order to perform the murder, it was at his feet that they put the clothes. Yet, this was the man that God met on the way to Damascus, and he saw Jesus and heard him. The claim that the other apostles could have made. Did you ever hear Jesus before? Is it not revelation you are getting? We saw Jesus. First of all, we slept together. Whatever claim they would have had, God gave Paul. Because Jesus appeared to him live and spoke to him. So the grace on his life was heavy. It was really, really heavy. I mean, by Galatians chapter 2, he said, excuse me, when they perceived, those powerful guys, he said, when they perceived the grace of God, that was on Barnabas and myself, said they gave us the right hand of fellowship. They could not keep us out because it was evident that what we were doing was pure grace from God. So it was this man, at the beginning of 2 Corinthians 12, he was writing that there were certain revelations that he was given. He was caught up to the third heaven. Ah, he said some of those things he was not even permitted to tell men. He says, so because of the abundance. Can you imagine? For a human being to have been so close to God, that God will share some things with that human being, that human being cannot even share with ordinary human beings. Come on. He said, so that I will still stay in touch with my humanity. He said, there was a handicap. He said, and my first reaction was to pray that he should go until God spoke. Okay? Let me read it from the Message translation. He said, because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. You know, sometimes we think we know ourselves, yet we don't, until promotion has come. We can do crazy things, I'm telling you. We are capable of doing crazy. You read the Bible very well. You will see so many people there that God promoted. They were so humble. They were so nice. They were so good. After the promotion came, they just went crazy. Good. So Satan's, he said, he was given the gift of a handicap to keep him in constant touch with his limitations. He said, Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he did, in fact, was push me to my knees. That's where God is going. Okay? Dependence on him. He says, no danger then of walking around high and mighty. You see, while everybody is praising you, you will remember, you are not God. And while everybody is assuming that your life is perfect, you will remember, your own is not. The same way they are praying, that's how you too, you are still praying. He said, no danger then of walking around high and mighty. He said, at first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. So, whatever it is that has not been working in your life or that has not worked up to this point, you have a choice. You can focus on the pain or you can focus on grace. Most people make the mistake of focusing on pain. If you focus on the pain, you become bitter. Bitter with people and bitter with the circumstances of your life. You become bitter with your husband, bitter with your wife, or bitter against your children, bitter against your boss, bitterness. You focus on the pain, you end up with bitterness. But you focus on the grace, you don't end up bitter, you end up better. The oyster When I learned how the oyster in the ocean develops pearls, oh Lord, I got a completely different perspective to pain. When a grain of sand enters that shell, it begins to irritate this oyster. And the oyster begins to do everything possible to get the grain of sand out. When it cannot, then it discovers that it has the capacity to secrete some fluid, which after some time solidifies around the grain of sand. And with that, the oyster does not feel anymore the pricking effect of the grain of sand. But what has mankind discovered? That fluid that the oyster releases, which eventually solidifies, has value. Eventually, when we get it out, it's beautiful. Beautiful, and is sold in the market. It's the same thing. When whatever it is irritates you, you can secrete poison. You can secrete bitterness. On the other hand, you can secrete something of value. And what God squeezes out of you is anointing. What God squeezes out of you is great. What God squeezes out of you is of value. That is the thing that eventually makes you an attraction. That is what you have to offer to your world. That is what makes you to stand out. That is what attracts people to you. And it depends a whole lot on how you react to pain. Apostle Paul says there's a connection between pain and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, this year, God will resolve in your life things that it is only God that can resolve. Yeah. Your testimonies, the kind that will be battered this year, will be the kind of testimonies that make you to stand out. Amen. This one year, God will so turn your circumstances around, the stories, the things in your life, the circumstances that caused you pain when you spoke about them, they are the circumstances you will talk about. But this time when you talk about them, they will be testimonies. Amen. The very things that caused me to shed tears before are now the things that form the core of my message. In fact, the reason why people want to listen to me. Being refused a visa. Poverty. Okay? Being stuck on a low-paying job. Okay? Looking at longing eyes at beautiful things and not being able to afford them. Visiting a relation and living with shame. Living with shame. Okay? Being treated in such a way that you know that you are despised. And it is simply because of your financial situation. And it is those very same things today that make people want to listen to me. Can you imagine? Pain and grace. Tonight, I've come to declare you are the candidate for grace. So my encouragement is brief. This year, don't focus on pain. As long as you do, you will be focusing on the source of pain. You will become bitter with people. As long as you have bitterness, grace can't work in your life. Because it is faith that activates grace. Okay? By grace, you are saved through faith. It is of grace that it might be according to, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Romans 4:6. Okay? It is faith that activates grace. But Galatians 5:6 says that faith works through love. Faith works through love. Jesus said, you have something against your brother? You come to the altar, you want to make a sacrifice? He said, go back and settle with your brother. If you don't forgive your brother, your father in heaven will not forgive you. And if he doesn't forgive you, forget your prayer point. Okay? So, If you focus on pain, on pain, on pain, you will be tempted to become bitter against the source of the pain. You must understand there is a higher power involved in the whole scenario. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. But he will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape. He won't allow you to be tempted. The key word there is allow. He is around. He is in every situation. What you look for is what you find. Okay? What you look for is what you find. As long as you are focused on the pain and the source of it, and it's a human being with a small head, sinful human being, weak human being, you'll be bitter. This year, focus on God. I said focus on God. He will with the temptation. So in the temptation, he's around. Like I learned many years ago, however dark the clouds may be, over it, the sun is still shining. And this dark cloud will pass. The one who has power over the cloud is God. Focus on God. Hallelujah. So because of your knowledge that God, being God, is still causing the sun to shine, you can walk around cheerfully and not build your life on a change in the circumstances. Focus on the God who cannot change. And as long as your focus is on God, I guarantee you what you will get is grace. Each time I was refused a visa, I grew more bitter with those visa officers at the embassy. Some of us have cursed them. I'm telling you. In fact, there are some of them that have a reputation amongst Nigerians who apply for visas. So when somebody says, I was refused, they say, is it one man like this? Then they describe. As if it's only one person there that refuses people visas. It's not. All of them do. They are under instruction. And then we are trying to pinpoint a particular person so that we can have an object for our hatred. Visa officer, visa officer. I was delivered. The day I went, American Embassy, I sat down. Before visa officer told me I would not get it, somebody else did. So I said, Lord, if I don't get this visa here today, then I will know it is you. Everything was set. For as long as we believed it was the devil, and it was those visa officers, we prayed. We fasted. So before I went this time, we are taking care of all of them. I'm telling you, in the spirit, we had bound all the bindables, loosed all the loosables. Okay? We had done everything possible. So by the time it came to my spirit, you may not get this thing today. That was when I said, no. Lord, if I don't get this thing here today, it is not the devil. It is you. Because every possible devil that could do anything had been taken care of. So who was left? After taking out all the devils, who was left? You see, that's the problem with some of us. Until all the demons have died, we will not see God. So by the time the guy told me, I'm sorry, I will not give you. I wanted to, because you see, some people keep thinking it is document. Ask some of us now. They ask some people in this church who have gone with documents that are not it, but who got the visas. A brother stood on this pulpit and gave his testimony. He works with a radio station here in Lagos. He said when they asked for a statement of account, he told the visa officer, I don't have any. Someone said, what do you mean? He said, I told you, I'm a civil servant. They don't pay our salaries regularly. Why should I keep the bank account? 2 years multiple entry. American visa. Eh? So, you see, sometimes people think it is document. So, in the bid to get document, they'll go and get fake. Now, lie. After I tried everything. This one time, I saw God. For the first time, I saw God. So I left without bitterness. For the first time. When you are refused, it's not easy. I don't know how you can live smiling except if you are pretending. It's so painful. And there's a way they arrange those their cubicles such that other people are waiting for you to see how you will come out. If you come out, there are some sheets of paper you can come out with, people will know you have gotten it. But anytime you come out with your passport, if you have experience, it's not easy. It's psychological trauma, especially if it's your first time. After the first time, you can manage it a little bit. But for the first time, I walked out of an embassy without a visa, but smiling. I don't know. I was free inside. I was free because for the first time, I was looking at God. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. When you are dealing with somebody who is causing you pain, your future is not guaranteed. In fact, the reason why you be bitter with the person is the person can repeat it. But when you are focused on God, you know that situation is not the last word on your circumstances. God has the last word. That's why you can rejoice. That's why you can relax. That came out. That was when I said, Lord, what is it? What do you want me to do? I felt Him saying, that's what I've been waiting for you to say all this while. And that was when everything just changed. I mean, I was so frustrated with this same church that it was not growing. I went to ask my pastor. I said, sir, what do you do with a church that refuses to grow? I've mentioned before on this pulpit how my wife and myself went on a retreat because I was asking the question, am I supposed to be pastoring? I don't want to waste my life. Am I supposed to be pastoring at all? I went to ask God, who asked me to start the church. Am I supposed to be pastoring at all? It was not working the way I expected. I asked my pastor. He gave encouragement. Galatians 6:9, I can never forget it. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap. If we faint not, he said, whatever it is you are doing, keep on doing it. Harvest is seasonal. Something will change along the line. But we had been holding management meetings, you know, trying to find a strategy, a structure that will work, that will facilitate growth in our church. Whole Saturdays sometimes. But just a few months, and we had been searching for a property, trying to move out of our former location. We had searched and searched. If we found the property, there will be no money. A few months after that experience, I woke up on a Saturday morning and I saw. I had been in a dream. And I knew it was a vision. I knew something had given way in the spirit realm. I saw a new auditorium. I saw Bishop Oyedepo and his wife coming, driving in a jeep. They got down and Bishop said we should come along. Then he went back to that jeep. Took this plant, this stick that had leaves on it, and planted it in the soil and began to prophesy. As he did, people began to run. People, within 2-3 minutes, the whole place had a large crowd. And then we now went to inspect the building, and I could hear a brother addressing a group of people with a microphone at this end. Then I heard a sister addressing a group of people with a microphone at that end. And then Bishop and his wife got into the jeep, drove off, and friends, minister friends from around the city began to shake hands with my wife and myself, congratulating us on what had happened. I woke up and I knew something had shifted. A few weeks after that, I got a book titled Purpose Driven Church. The Purpose-Driven Church by Rick Warren. I called the pastors to an all-night meeting because, you see, when things are not working, everybody agitates, and there was just this you know, restlessness and tension. And I said, okay, come for all night prayer. We're going to do just the pastors. So I had just begun to read the book. I said, wow, we need to discuss this. I took the book to the meeting. I said, I will read through the first chapter, then we will discuss how this affects the Star Christian Center. The meeting that day, see, from the moment I started, somebody else took over that meeting. The Holy Spirit took over. The outcome of that meeting was very far from what all of us envisaged, even me that called the meeting. It just a complete different direction. We had to quickly get a board and then wrote there, you know, the Star Transformation or whatever. And then I would read a section of the book, then we would discuss, then we will write down how this applies to Daystar. Then I will read some more. This meeting spanned 2 months, all night sometimes, all day sometimes. What we came out with was a blueprint for the transformation of Daystar Christian Center. That is the structure that the church is still built on till now. A structure that we have shared with churches not only all over this country but around the world, and there is no church that has applied that structure and not experienced growth. Grace. 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 Of course, the day we moved in here, Bishop Edokpo was here, his wife. They came in Egypt. They prayed. And since then, we've moved into this crowd dimension. The past 3 years, we've stopped advertising. Stopped advertising on TV, radio, newspaper like we were doing before. What do? The crowd keeps coming. Now God blessed us with a new auditorium. Can you imagine? Before we moved in, we've already outgrown the auditorium. Is this church growth? Some people attend church growth conferences though. Maybe when you attend church growth conference, they may tell you do sell system, do advertising, do publicity, do unbill, do outreach, do all the things they would normally tell you to do for church growth. We are not doing. Church is growing. Grace is there. That is the interpretation, the grace. So people are beginning to ask, so how are you doing it? We can tell you how we are doing it. The one that we did not originate at all is the grace sign. Somewhere along the line, in the course of this year, God will interrupt your life. By the time we're through with this year, there will be a clear distinction between when this dimension of grace was not there and when it was not there. Now there. Before, we will search for property, for rental. We will find the property, no money. We have entered another phase. Even where our money is not complete, we just take the money we have plus grace to be equal to what we want. Amen. It's a different level. So all those who are thinking of buying cars this year with Naira and Kobo, your expectation will be too small. It will be what you have plus grace equals the car. There will be an explosion in the possession of real estate in this church this year. The person that may not be qualified to get it is the one who believes he or she is not qualified. The person who looks at her salary, the person who looks at his income, the person who, But the one that has faith, the requirement that activates grace this year, it will be an explosion. And there will be many surprises. The amount of real estate that will transfer into the hands of members of this church this year. In the name of Jesus Christ, there will be miracle babies. People will marry this year that they were not expecting to marry. And I'm telling you, there will be testimonies of promotion. People will get jobs this year they were not expecting to get. Members of this church will go to places around the world this year that people around you know you are not supposed to go. By reason of the information that they have about you, you are not supposed to be the next person. There's someone here. I can hear someone telling you by the end of this year. If it was human beings that shared it, It would not have been your turn yet. Uh-huh. I can hear them. I can hear someone telling somebody here like that. This thing that you got, sir, if it were to be human beings that share it, you know it wouldn't have been your turn yet. And because they will see you get what they never thought you'll be qualified to get. Did I hear you say good amen? The origin of it is how you manage what is missing in your life. How you manage a source of pain. How you manage a handicap. How you manage what is not working this year. So the starting point tonight is you will lift your voice and you will tell God, I declare tonight my total trust in you. I declare my total trust in you. God told me once, the day you fight someone for leaving this church, he said it will be proof of your belief in my weakness. It will be proof of your belief in my weakness. Uh-huh. It will be because you believe that by someone leaving, the destiny of this church will not be fulfilled anymore. That will be the reason why you are fighting someone. He said, don't try it. Hallelujah. Okay, so this year, being bitter against someone, being hateful against someone, it will be proof of the lack of our trust and faith in God's ability to change the situation. You know what? There is no unbeliever that God cannot save. Did you hear me? There is no unsaved person that God cannot save. Maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your child. It may be your boss in the office. Maybe your dad, maybe your mom. This year, expect the grace of God to work. This is one year God is going to deal with impossibilities. And he is going to make them possible in very cheap ways. It will be obvious it is God that has done it. In Job 13:15, Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Fantastic. Hey, when things are not working, there's a possibility to abandon God. Because it's like God is not working. It's when you want to do it for yourself that you fight people. Leave the thing to God. He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. He said, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Lift your hand to the Lord and tell him, I will trust you. I will trust you. I declare my total trust in you. There's no point trying to change what you cannot change. There's no point trying to change what you cannot change. Oh, leave God to change it in style. God, the Bible says forever, oh Lord, your word is settled in heaven. I will not try to manipulate it on earth. I put my total trust in you. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, he said, acknowledge him. Recognize him. He's there. He said he will direct your steps. I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. Oh, yes. He said, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Why? He will eventually become bitter because man will disappoint him. He makes flesh his strength. His heart departs from God. He shall be like a shrub in the desert. Shall not see when good comes. Shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. In a salt land which is not inhabited. He said, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Whose hope is the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters. That spreads out its roots by the river. He will not fear when heat comes. His leaf will be green. He will not be anxious in the year of drought. He will not cease from yielding fruit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, le brashukata hale gedoros, yebaloski shakateria, mangle drojista kapaya. I want you to pray with your heart. As we are praying, healing is happening. I see God dipping his hand into people's hearts and pulling out pain, pulling out bitterness. Because from tonight, you will not feel the pain anymore. You will not feel the pain anymore. Apostle Paul said, I rejoice in my infirmities. Wonderful. Wonderful. You can celebrate in the midst of adversity. Glory to God. I put my trust in you. Absolute trust. Absolute trust. I believe you are God. You are God. Beside you, there's none other. Oh, I cannot take my file beyond your table. The box stops at your table. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Hallelujah. I've chosen to take my eyes off my pain. Take my eyes off man. He said, cease from man. whose breath is in his nostrils, cease from man. His breath is in his nostrils. Hey, Lord, I put my focus on you. Woo! I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where is my help coming from? Everybody's going to the hills to sacrifice to idols which they have made their source of help. I lift up my eyes. I see what they are seeing. Where is my help coming from? I declare tonight my help comes from the Lord, the God who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He who keeps Israel will not cause me to stumble. Lord, thank you. Yes, Lord. The rod of the wicked will not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Oh, yes, Lord. Lest the righteous put forth his hand to iniquity. Once I was young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I cannot trust you in vain. Abraham did not trust you in vain. Isaac did not trust you in vain. Jacob did not trust you in vain. Christ trusted you with his life. He allowed himself to be killed. On the third day, you raised him from the dead. I will not defend myself. I will not fight for myself. I stop being desperate. I will not manipulate my circumstances myself. No! Even if I die, oh God, because I trust you like Jesus did, you will raise me up like you said. Joseph trusted you. His life looked so bad. But at the end, what you said came to pass. I trust my destiny into your hand. You said, I will marry. I'm going to marry. Oh, yes, Lord. You said, I will have children. I will have them. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. You said, I'll be successful in life. I'm going to become exactly what you said. I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria sent a battalion of soldiers to arrest Elisha. And when they came to Dothan, in the morning the servant of Elisha arose. When he saw the soldiers, he said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Elisha stepped forward. He said, "Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them." Then he said, "Lord, open this young man's eyes. He is seeing only problems. Help him to see the solution." Ah, it's not only problems that are in our lives. The solution is right there. And the solution is more powerful than the problem. The Bible says, "The Lord opened the young man's eyes. He saw horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Glory to God. We're going to pray next. God, open my eyes to see grace in my situation. Go ahead and pray. Open my eyes. Let me see grace in my situation. Maybe if I had seen that the failures that I experienced would become the reason why many Nigerians would want to listen to me, maybe I would not have cried. Maybe I would not have wept. Maybe I would not have been as frustrated as I was then. Because I will have realized it was only a temporary situation to give me a permanent solution. Hallelujah. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. This year I will not be blind. That's why I'm not going to complain. That's why I'm not going to be bitter. That's why I'm not going to walk in malice. I'm not going to walk in hatred this year. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Joseph said about his brothers, "You sold me as a slave. God sent me." Same situation. Help me to see, oh God, why people are selling me into slavery. Help me to see how you are pushing me into prominence. Open my eyes to see. I've been bitter against my boss. Bitter against my colleague in the office. Bitter against my neighbor. Father, help me to see grace. Help me to see grace. Take my eyes off the pain. Take my eyes off the problem. Help me to see the possibility of grace. Because